All right, our scripture reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 18. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 18. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of all realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sins offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.'" When he said above, "You have neither desire nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sins offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will," he does away with the first order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bear witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." And he adds, "I will remember their sin and their lawless deed no more. For where there is forgiveness of this, there is no longer any offering for sin." This is the word of God. We now have Reverend Jackson Wan to share with us God's word.
Good morning, church. A blessed Palm Sunday to you, even in these trying times. My name is Jackson. I'm one of the pastors of Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. And this morning, being Palm Sunday, is a blessing to be here to worship God together with you, wherever that you are. And it is also a pleasure for me to be here to share with you God's word from Hebrews chapter 10. I don't know if when you were young, have you watched some classics movies, like for example, The Three Musketeers? I remember when I was a little boy and I watched Three Musketeers with my parents, some series, TV series, as well as some movies that was out. And one thing that always remained with me in my mind about The Three Musketeers was their motto. You know, everywhere that they go, The Three Musketeers always say, as they cross their swords together like this, and they will say, "All for one and one for all." Now, it's very inspiring every time they say that, because one for all and all for one, it signifies the unity of these three musketeers. Actually, if you know the story, there are four of them. All for one. That means everything, all of them do, they do together as one team, as one united body. And one for all, everything that one of them does was representative and done for all of them. And the idea of all for one and one for all just keeps coming back to my mind as I read and reflect upon this passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Not in the same sense of the three musketeers, but really about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us on the cross for our sins. I will explain more later, but let me begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, we ask that you bless this time that we have together as we read your word and hear from your word. We pray, O God, that you teach us, challenge us, and inspire us. Bless this time we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My first point, all for one. In verse 1 that Reverend Srima read for us, it says, since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities. Now, what does it really mean when the verse writes like that? Now, what is a shadow? A shadow might reveal the presence of a light, such as you see a shadow here. A shadow reveals the presence of a light. But a shadow is not the light itself. For example, if there is a shadow of a lamppost that extends from the lamppost, and it will show the way, if you follow the shadow, it will show you the way and lead you to the lamppost itself. But only the lamppost itself, with its light, can it truly lit up the darkness. The shadow cannot. So the good of the shadow is that it reveals the light. Much like a sundial, this is a sundial. It's those like a shadow clock. Those ancient days when people do not wear watches, they had a sundial placed under the hot sun. And when the sun rays shine upon it and shows the shadow, they are able to tell the time of the day. But a shadow only reveals the position of the sun, and so you can tell the time. But a shadow is not the sun itself. It is the sun that really gives off the light. And this shadow here in verse 1 actually refers to the law, the Old Testament laws, which the Old Testament believers, they lived by. For this law was only like a shadow of the reality that is to come, of these good things that is to come. What is this real good thing? But one more thing is that the law can never make perfect the believer. It will never make perfect the believers. And the next few verses continue. In verse 2, otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, verse 2 here explains that if the yearly sacrifices have worked once for all, then there wouldn't need to be any sacrifices every year. But verse 3 says, but the good of this yearly sacrifice is that it reminds us that we are only imperfect. It reminds us that we are still sinful every year. Indeed, the yearly sacrifices cannot take away human sins for good, as indicated in verse 4. The blood of goats and bulls, they cannot take away human sins for good. Is it a matter of compatibility, I wonder? Maybe because they are goats and bulls and they are animals and we are humans, so the blood of goats and bulls, maybe they are not compatible to replace us or to forgive us of our sins? No, it's not just incompatibility. But rather, there is a need for a higher, a greater, and a better sacrifice. Imagine there's a wave of huge flood that's rushing towards you. And imagine that you want to stop this flood from flooding your town or your home or anyone, your loved ones who are behind you. And you set up a wooden plank or some kind. And you try to stop the flood from proceeding any further. Now this wooden plank, being just maybe just a normal wooden plank, it may stop the flood, but only for a while. But it will eventually break. The wooden plank will break under the force of the pressure of the water that's rushing. And the water would only continue to rush on and continue flowing. But only if you have a strong and sturdy flood barriers, maybe something that looks like this, a very sturdy flood barriers, perhaps even made of concrete or steel, that is stronger than the force of the rushing water, can it really stop the rushing water once and for all? And in the same way, I reflected that the blood of goats and bulls was just like the wooden plank that we just saw, like this. The blood of goats and bulls can stop the flood of sin just for that while. And every year, the Old Testament believers, they will have to sacrifice more blood of both goats and bulls in order to seek forgiveness of their sins. But they need something stronger, something better, something much more that could really stop the tide of sin from proceeding further, to stop it once and for all. Now, if you are living in Old Testament times, imagine going through all the trouble and mess, having to prepare and arrange for an animal each year to be sacrificed. But after all this trouble, after all this mess and arrangement and hard work, it's only good for 1 year. All for one. All of this preparation just for that 1 year of limited forgiveness. For the Old Testament people, I wonder if it can be very frustrating, if it could be very tiresome, if it could eventually be cumbersome. And I wonder if any of them began to start giving up. Maybe next year, don't sacrifice anymore. No point. Maybe they want to give up. But even us today, although we are living today as New Testament times, don't we also sometimes face the same defeatist mentality? That as we face our sins each day, we don't find it very frustrating, tiresome, and cumbersome. That we keep committing the same sin again and again and again. And eventually the guilt that catches us and make us that we just come repeatedly to God again, ask for forgiveness, God forgive me, but yet I sin again. And then I go back to God and ask for forgiveness, but yet I sin again. And it keeps happening again and again and again. And sometimes we know we are forgiven, but we soon find ourselves struggling against the sin and facing the same sin again and again. And we begin to wonder if all of this, asking for forgiveness, is only good for that one time only, that we have to ask again and again. And perhaps we become tired of the entire process. And perhaps, finally, out of exhaustion, we too give up coming to God completely and merely allow the sin to continue in our lives. We give up and we got defeated. Then we lead defeated lives. We become disillusioned and cynical with our faith. Eventually, perhaps, we even fall away from Christ. But brothers and sisters, the good news is, if we think God's forgiveness of sins are only good for 1 year like Old Testament times, that all we do is only good for a limited access of forgiveness, boy, are we so sorely mistaken. For the passage here that we read today says this Old Testament law of yearly sacrifices is only but a shadow of the real good things, something better, something more to come. And that leads me to our next point, one for all. In verses 5 to 7 of this passage that we read, it says here, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I say, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Now this was actually taken from Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 to 8, which is very similar in saying, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I say, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, this was actually a prophecy from the Old Testament times, Old Testament book of Psalm, that points to a fulfillment in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 6, it compares with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. And it says that God does not delight in the practices of sacrifices and offering because the people just keep sinning again and again. And in Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, compares with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, it says, but behold, someone is coming, someone written in God's scroll of the book. Who else but our Lord Jesus Christ? And in Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, compared with Hebrews chapter 10, also of verse 7, it says that this someone, Jesus, who delights to God to do God's will as God's law, this someone is someone who does God's will. Jesus Christ, he came to do the will of God. And the passage in Hebrews continue, chapter 10, verse 9. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So you see in verse 9b that Jesus does away with the first in order to establish the second. What does it mean? It means that Jesus does away the old law in order to establish a new covenant, a new understanding of approach for us towards God. And Jesus does away this shadow to establish the real good things that is happening. What Jesus did was that he willingly committed his life to the plan of God. Doing God's will was Jesus' supreme goal. Jesus came to fulfill the promise of Scripture. Jesus lived his life obeying God's will and purpose for him, and that is to tell the people about God and his kingdom. And eventually for Jesus to give up his life on the cross so that people who believe in him will have their sins forgiven as they enter into God's kingdom of peace, freedom, and eternal life. Verse 10, by Jesus' obedience and will to submit to God's will, even to the point of dying on the cross, we all have also been sanctified to this offering of Jesus' body. The old sacrifice of the blood of goats and bulls sanctifies the believers for 1 year. But the sacrifice of the blood and body of our Lord Jesus Christ as an offering sanctifies us once for all. One for all. Just one person is required, who is Jesus, the Son of God, to make right the sins of all people. One for all. Just one time this sacrifice is required to sanctify us, to cleanse us, make pure and holy, make right, make us right before God, and forgive us for all times. In verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 10 to 14, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So you see, Jesus had offered for all time a one single sacrifice for sins. And now that the work is done, Jesus sat at the right hand of God until when his enemies will be made a footstool. That means his enemies, the devil, death, and sins, will be defeated. That Jesus will put his feet upon them like a footstool. The stool that you step upon to rest your feet, Jesus had all his enemies under his feet. Jesus will defeat sins in our lives. Jesus will defeat death in our lives. Jesus will defeat the devil and the fears we might have which grip us from day to day. Verse 14, and by Jesus' single one offering, he has perfected for all time, one for all, those of us who are being sanctified. Now being sanctified is a continual, ongoing process of sanctification. Now we have been made perfect. We are already made perfect. But we need to continue to go through this sanctification. We are already made righteous and forgiven by God. Yet there is this ongoing cleansing as we are built or trained to become better and better children of God. Imagine it like making a national soccer team or international soccer team even. Now, if you are part of an international soccer team, you are already an international player. You are perfected. You are not one trying for the team. You are already on the team. You are perfected as an international player. Your dreams of being part of this team are already accomplished, and your goal has been achieved. But you don't just stop there. You have to keep on practicing your football. You have to keep on training. Why? Am I not already an international football star? Yes, you are. But you still have to keep training to become a better football player, even though you are already an international player. And in the same way, we are perfected as God's children. Or another theological word is we are justified as God's children. We are made righteous. We are forgiven of our sins and given life. But we don't just stop there. We have to keep on being sanctified. Why? Am I not already perfected? Am I not already forgiven? Yes, you are. But you still have to keep being sanctified to draw nearer and nearer to Jesus, even though you are already a forgiven child of God. So as I say earlier, as we face our sins each day, we may find it frustrating, tiresome, and cumbersome because we just keep committing the same sin again and again. God forgive us, but we just keep going back to it. And then we find ourselves struggling, and we just wonder if all of this asking for forgiveness is only good for one time, like the Old Testament time. So we have to keep coming year after year or day after day. And we may become tired and we eventually give up of exhaustion and perhaps give up coming to God entirely and become cynical. But here I'm saying the sacrifice of the blood and body of Jesus Christ as an offering sanctifies us once for all. One for all, just one person is required to make right the sins of all people. One for all, just one time is required for God to forgive us of all times. Now, God does not desire repeated sacrifices. So he willed for Jesus to do it once and for all using his own body. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle with our sins anymore. It doesn't mean that we don't have to come to God and don't have to ask for forgiveness or don't have to repent. In fact, in this last final season of Lent, we continue to reflect in our lives and we continue to seek God for forgiveness and repent. But the point is, we don't have to live defeated life. We can live victorious lives in Christ because Jesus has already defeated his enemies of sin and death. And in verse 12, the amazing news is that Jesus doesn't just sit at God's right hand waiting for his enemies to be defeated and placed at his footstool. Do you know in Romans chapter 8 verse 34, it says that as Jesus sits at the right hand of God, he was there interceding, he was praying, and he's speaking to God on behalf of us. So Jesus continued to give of our testimony before God and witness for us. But there is yet another who speaks to us regarding this truth. I come to my conclusion point in verses 15 to 18. The Holy Spirit is the one. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Verse 15. In fact, in this whole passage, this part is actually taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 to 34. Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34. Now the covenant, the promise that God will make with us is that he will put his laws on our hearts and write them on our minds. In Psalm 40 verse 8, which I showed you earlier, which was fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5 and to 7, it says that the law was written in Jesus' heart. You remember that? That the law was written in Jesus' heart in Psalm 40 verse 8. And now these laws, which were written in Jesus' heart, here now says, are now written in our hearts, in your hearts. And this law that is written in our hearts means that God's word is in us, is in our mind, in our hearts. That means God's presence is now with us. And this law that is written in our hearts, just as it was in Jesus' hearts, bind us close with Jesus. That we have this intimacy with Jesus, who is our brother, and God as our Father. And verse 17 says, "And so God, our Heavenly Father, will remember our sins and our lawless deeds no more." God will forgive us, and he already has. So in summary, God does not desire repeated sacrifices. He willed for Jesus to do it once and for all using his own body. It doesn't mean we don't struggle, but it means that this one offering of Jesus' life will get us forgiven for all our sins of all time, and will also give us life. And it means that we don't have to wallow in our self-pity, feeling lousy and defeated in our struggles with sin each day. In fact, verse 18 at the end says, "There is no longer any offering for sin required. No longer do we need to bring goats or bulls to be sacrificed so that we are forgiven. We still tell God our sins and ask for forgiveness, but there's no need for sacrifices or wallowing in defeat." So imagine it's like you have paid for a subscription for an internet service and you have received unlimited access now. So it is paid by Jesus. You just need to come in and use it. Just enter into God's presence. It means we can rejoice knowing by Jesus' blood, God remembers our sins no more. We are justified and being sanctified, and we continue to draw close to God. Now, brothers and sisters, today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a day on the traditional Christian calendar. It is the final week, or entering into the final week of this Lent season, and entering into the final week of Jesus' life on earth. It is on Palm Sunday that we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is reflected in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 9. And the people welcome Jesus like a king by waving palm leaves and placing palm leaves down before his path like a royal red carpet welcoming him. We too today can rejoice with those early believers that Jesus has come, that we are made perfect in him, and God remembers our sins no more. We can rejoice because of Jesus' offering of his body as sacrifice on Good Friday, this Good Friday, and that we receive life. So we can celebrate and rejoice today as Palm Sunday. Now the COVID-19 situation, the virus is taking lives, and we are worried and we are fearful. And that is cause for us to be careful and to be wary of the risks of this virus. So we stay home and we be safe. But we can still rejoice even when we are at home, because even though the virus are taking lives, Jesus gave his life victorious and full lives in him. That sin and death have been defeated as Jesus' footstool, and we can live confidently and joyfully in him. Now, will you accept the life that is given to you by Christ? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you that you have given us your life. And by your sacrifice on the cross for our sins, once and for all, that we are able to stand before you. That we do not have to wallow in self-pity or in defeat. But we know, God, by your presence with us and your life that you have given to us, we can live in celebration and rejoice victoriously because, God, of what you have done. So, Lord, we ask, O Lord, that you continue to reveal yourself into our lives. Speak to us, O God. Speak to us. That, Lord, if there's any of you, any of us out there who have yet to accept and to receive this life that you're giving to us, then, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Move us, God, that we are not able to deny, but only to say, Lord, truly, you are the dead that is better. You are the one that is more to come. And Lord Jesus, we want to just accept you into our lives, rejoice in you, and just live this victorious life that you have intended us to live. Even though the world, as we look through the news each day, it looks so gloomy and bleak, but we can live victoriously, because we have a God who is with us, a God who has given us life to the full, eternal life. And so we do not need to be afraid, because we are forgiven, we are perfected, we are justified, and we are being sanctified each and every day, step and step, closer and closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for what you have done. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.